You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Jeff, and I will be your host today. We're going to have a three-for-all, one of our more common formats lately, featuring Neil, Matt, and Ken. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good. This almost was a one-on-one, but we managed to rig up an impromptu mic stand for Neil here, who has a kind of oddly shaped microphone for a change.
We'll post a picture on the comments of this episode. Let us know what you think, although it will never probably be used again.
And yeah, we'll make sure to get Patrick Swayze in the background.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do that. That's a good call.
That's why we really appreciate our Patreon, so we can get that mic stand, I think that's the next step. So,
Or dedicated mics. So some of the mics that we use to record the show, we actually borrow. So we don't have them on a consistent basis. It would be nice to just be able to set up the office here and have everything kind of ready to go every time we walk in. So
we actually only need $40 to get two more mics.
And Neil has also been evicted, so we're recording from the alley today.
We are recording from the alley. There was going to be a fourth contestant, but he's in the middle of a bowel movement behind the dumpster.
Anyway, on that note.
So if you would like to support us directly, we would appreciate it. As we've mentioned before, there are hosting fees, and we would like to secure some equipment and upgrade some of the already existing equipment that we do own, which we've gotten, fortunately, from donations. And you can do that for us at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. And we have an exciting new announcement about our website. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Matt.
Yeah, we have a new website. You go to trivialitypodcast.com. You can get all the links to how to get in touch with us, show notes, episodes. Everything's going to be on there. So we're going to start guiding you that way.
And Jeff, I think you're going to add a wall of heroes, you said, too.
Yes. So as a Patreon perk for any of you who donate more than $3 a month, we have a little wall of heroes that we're going to be putting up. So those of you who are already Patreon supporters, thank you very much to the three of you. We have two more that we got in September. That would be Jason and Greg. So thank you guys. We really appreciate that. Those names will be going up there. And just as a small little perk too, anybody $10 a month and higher, we consider those official sponsors. So those people are going to be getting their names in the show notes of every episode.
So thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. And if you guys enjoyed last week's episode, which was the Game of Death episode, let us know in the comments if you haven't already. And if you'd like to be a part of it and would take on Team Triviality and our personal pagoda, let us know and we'll make that happen for you as well.
Though it should be mentioned that it might come with a slight rules tweak. Mm-hmm. We're still working out the kinks of the Game of Death.
And if there's any suggestions that you guys have listening to the episode, what you like, what you didn't like, what you thought worked, please let us know. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, email us directly, trivialitypodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to send in those question five submissions too.
All right. And without further ado, Jeff, let's run down the rules.
Thanks, Ken. So as always, it's going to be 20 questions in a variety of topics worth 10 points apiece, split into two rounds. Halftime, there's going to be a special swing round designed by me where players can rack up additional points. At the end of regulation, players will enter the final round where the points they've accumulated can be wagered 0 to 30 on five categorized questions. And as always, at the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
Question one. If you are graced by a group of unicorns, what would you call them? Regardless of what you call them, they would almost certainly be conducive to your happiness or welfare.
So this is basically what's a group of unicorns called?
Yes, it is.
Wait, are unicorns real?
That's a good question. Well, it's another horned animal, magical horned animal.
Yeah,
I mean, they are the national animal.
Like the narwhal or the woolly mammoth.
Mm.
They are the national animal of Scotland, so you need to know what a group of them is called, obviously.
Oh, they are.
Is that actually true?
That is true.
That is true, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That would have been a better question.
No, because then it's a geography question, and I'm going to get flack for it.
I don't like it, but it's what it is.
I just wrote something. Yep.
All right. I will go with Neil to start.
I had no idea, so I just put a joy.
Matt?
Oh, that's not bad. I just put my favorite grouping name as a business of unicorns.
And Ken?
I went with a well-being of unicorns.
So there were actually two clues in there. If you say grace, it's a blessing. Also conducive to happiness or welfare, to be blessed.
A
blessing of unicorns.
I guess you would be blessed if you saw multiple unicorns coming at you.
Hashtag blessed.
Uh-huh. I would like to be blessed with a question I know the answer to.
Sure. Question two.
Perfect.
What element must be present for something to be considered organic chemistry?
I think I have the answer.
All right. I just wrote an element down.
I always like to go first with Neil on the element questions.
As per usual, I just name an element that I know, and I've been looking up more elements, so I think I'm up to three now: iodine, potassium, and my answer, carbon.
Mm-hmm. Put the building block of matter, carbon.
Yeah, usually when somebody's particularly annoying me, I say they're a waste of good carbon, so I went carbon.
So you are all correct.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Although
me?
Matt's a little wrong because he said the building block of all matter, which. It's only a little bit of the spectrum of matter. Building block of life, maybe, is what you meant. But
yeah,
yes, you are all correct with carbon.
I took environmental biology in college because I didn't want to take real biology.
Well, that probably benefited you on this question.
On this one, it did a little bit. We did a lot of compost heaps.
This might be the first element question I've gotten right.
Neil, it's happening.
Not to take away from your tremendous accomplishment,
don't
but it's also like the softball of chemistry questions.
Don't do it. Don't take it away.
I know it's a softball. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. But I
ripped the seams off of it, though. That's what
softball
I said.
Softball made up of carbon.
Every great baseball player played t-ball or softball before.
That's right.
And all of them were intentionally walked like me.
In t-ball?
Yes.
Impressive.
Yeah.
No, I'd never played t-ball. Question three. Which U.S. state is the only one to have a flag which features two separate designs, one for each side? As a hint, the obverse features a beaver.
Mm-hmm. I know this one. I've heard
this. Did you say one for each side?
Yes.
What's that great video that you had me watch, the TED Talk? I really enjoyed that about vexillology.
Oh, yeah, with like good design with Roman Mars, essentially.
Yeah, definitely check that one out.
Okay, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm just in with a random answer.
All right, I will kick it to Ken.
Since you mentioned the beaver, I went with something close to Canada, North Dakota.
Mm.
And Matt?
Oregon.
Oh, that makes sense.
I went with Oregon as well.
All right, and points will be going to Matt and Neil.
Yeah.
So I believe it's a seal on one side and then a golden beaver on a blue field.
A seal? Like
oh, no, I was thinking like Kiss from a Rose seal. Can someone make that flag, please?
That's not even his best song.
That's all right, but someone's got to make a seal on one side and beaver on the other side flag.
What's number one in your seal song power ranking?
Whatever the one that I can't remember if it's the title, but Never Gonna Survive.
Okay.
Question four. Greater than and less than are mathematical functions that show this relationship between numbers.
Hmm.
It's the closest I've gotten to writing like a pure math question.
Math is hard. Neil, what's the highest math you ever took?
It would have been geometry, I guess, sophomore year. I had algebra.
Trig?
No, I didn't. I was all arts, man. I did the minimal requirement of math that I could, and I got a C, and then I left.
Trig was required.
For me, I just had to do two science and two math in 4 years. I did.
You went to the same high school, Neil.
Yeah, I did. I did biology. No, that's not true. I did biology, physics, and intro science, but math I only did two.
Yeah,
I was somehow able to get out of it because
I heard a lack of chemistry.
I've never done chemistry, yeah.
That's surprising.
All the chemistry I did was in between
change?
The halls.
Neil's 3 years older than me.
It might have had to do something with the affair I had with my guidance
counselor.
We
only had to do two math and sciences. No, I'm going to ignore that. We only had to do two math and sciences.
I do not have an answer, but I will have a guess. So
why don't we throw it to Matt?
I just put orders of magnitude.
I assume you're looking for a very specific math term. I'm not sure what it is, but I put down a math term and I went with the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I just put alligator mouth.
Those are representative of inequality.
Inequalities. Okay.
I see what you're getting at there.
On to question five, which is our listener submitted question. I've not had my inbox flooded recently, so this is going to be one that I've written.
Yeah, so if you guys hate this question, make sure you start submitting some so Jeff doesn't have to write them anymore.
Yeah, we need more people sliding into the DM, so make it happen.
I should pick a worse question then. I'll stick with it. Question 5. Possession, a 1993 song written by this artist, was inspired by fan-written love letters she received.
So it's not Seal.
No, it's not.
Possession.
1993.
Yeah, when you find out that these are letters written from her stalker, it's super creepy to listen to. She wrote it as a way to kind of cope and deal with that. It's a pretty cool story.
Okay, I have the best guess I can make.
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, sure. I wrote Paula Abdul because I know that she was stalked, and that's around the era.
Oh, that's a good guess. Yeah, I initially, for some reason, Fiona Apple was in my head, but then I just went really simple and went with Madonna.
I went with Mariah Carey.
Would it help if I told you that she's making us all cry now with ASPCA commercials?
Oh,
Sarah McLachlan. And her famous 93 hit, Possession.
I don't think I know that one.
I'll play it for you real quick.
Nah, we're good.
Fair enough.
I don't need to hear it.
Question 6. People in the southern U.S. may call a shopping cart a shopping this. No horse or baby required.
Oh, okay. I'm in.
Okay. We'll start with Ken.
I'm going with carriage.
I used to work at Jewel as a cart boy, and sometimes people would say, can you go get me a buggy?
Oh, no. And Neil?
I put buggy as well, but carriage sounded good.
It is buggy.
Oh, ooh. My God.
And generally, they were southern, and they would say, can you go get me a buggy? And that would come up. And that's
rubber baby, bubby, blah, blah, blah. I'm really good at that,
you
too.
You nailed it, too.
Rubber baby, bubby, blah, blah, blah.
So good at it.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. The one I'm really good at is what's the one, not the beaver one,
She Sells Seashells by the Seashells.
No Oh yeah, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, peck of pickled peppers, Peter Piper picked. There we go.
Great.
Doesn't make up for what you did before that.
No, but I got 10 points.
Well, it's a good thing we have that pop filter on for that one.
Question 7. In 1977, this musician may have asked a bartender for drinks from Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, and Guinness. If he did, I'm sure he'd ask for one of each, and in that order.
God,
1977 is in there as a hint to discourage you from thinking of other artists who've covered that song. So,
I think this is the name. I know the song. I just can't remember who's singing it.
Okay.
Oh God, I can't think of the guy's name. I think it's George something.
We'll see.
Yeah, this is the one whiskey, one bourbon, one beer song, and I can't think of the.
It's a bourbon, a scotch, and a beer. Scotch? Thank you. Yeah.
So it's scotch. That's interesting.
Johnny Walker, yeah, makes scotch.
I thought he just wanted a random, like, just give me a shot of whatever you know.
Just give me
limoncello, whatever.
Well, because as you know, as not a drinker, I was like, let me look up some famous shots. Yeah. And then I was just like, one scotch, one beer? Okay, cool, yeah. I can go with this.
Because if the shot was like Malort, you would need that beer a lot faster. Get that taste out of your mouth.
To our non-Chicago, no. There.
Another very Chicago-centric reference. Malort is disgusting liqueur that we drink for some reason in this town.
Like, who drinks that gasoline?
Because he also sings Bad to the Bone. This is killing me. All right, I think it's George something. I could be wrong. I'm just going to say George Costanza.
Wonderful. Art Vandelay. I think it's John Cocker, maybe?
Okay.
I didn't know. I just went with Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I don't think it's him.
Yeah, you all destroyed this question. George Thorogood.
Thorogood. No, he said George something.
John? You're thinking of Joe Cocker.
I sure am.
Not John Cocker, Joe Cocker. He did the Wonder Years theme song.
Oh, okay.
Question 8. As far as I know, this company's not yet been sued for false advertising. However, it's highly unlikely they can change your oil in 33.3564 picoseconds.
Yeah, I'm between two, and I just flipped a mental coin and went with one.
All right, Ken seemed to be somewhat confident. He was in first.
I'm going to go with Jiffy Lube, assuming that a Jiffy is actually a actual measure of time.
I was between Jiffy Lube and Midas, and I guessed wrong, I believe, and put Midas.
Oh, Jiffy is a great guess. I didn't even think of Jiffy Lube. I just put Pep Boys.
So it is a Jiffy Lube. So yes, Ken is correct. He'll be getting points on that one. Just a little bit of background here. The word Jiffy's been around since at least the late 18th century. They're not sure where the word comes from, but it originally popped up as a thieves slang for lightning. Fast forward about a century, physical chemist Gilbert Newton Lewis came up with the word photon. He also suggested Jiffy as officially defined the time that it takes for light to travel 1 centimeter in a vacuum, which is about 33.3564 picoseconds.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Question 9. Which Japanese auto manufacturer always tries to use 23 on their race cars because in Japanese, 2 and 3 is pronounced the same way as their name?
I got it.
You should.
I'm in,
yeah.
Ken, having studied Japanese, should be able to get this pretty quickly. Yeah, I will build suspense. We'll start with Neil.
Ichi Nissan, so Nissan.
Matt?
I knew it had to be obviously a two-syllable one, and I didn't think of Honda, so I put Hyundai, which is probably wrong.
And South Korean. Ken?
Nissan.
All right, Ken and Neil will be getting points on that one.
I think that question was biased. I know nothing about Japanese culture.
You know a little bit about the number 23, though, don't you?
That's true. If it was MJ, it'd be all right.
Question.
Oh, and it's our 23rd episode, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot of synergy in this.
Question 10. Some people thought that this filter song was about the death of Kurt Cobain, but it was actually about the live suicide of Robert Bud Dwyer, state treasurer for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in 1987.
I don't think I know any filter songs.
I can't think of any.
I'm getting it mixed up with Shinedown, I think, or something equally terrible.
I don't know. I kind of like Filter. Had the privilege to live switch their live performance at JBTV. Wow.
Did they play the song in question?
They did play this song, yes. They did not play their other famous single.
Gotcha. If the song is what I think it is, I don't think I know the title, but I think I know the song. So I wrote something down and I'm locked in.
I have a question. If we're for hazy on the actual full title, is that passable?
No.
It needs to be the exact wording.
The only reason I did that is because okay. I gave you the band and a situation that is pretty indicative of what the title
is. I have a filter set list. I have a framed picture of all my JBTV set lists. So I have the filter set list hanging on my wall, and I'm just making sure I have the title of the song right.
I feel like I've heard of this song, like it's like they're talking to someone, but...
We'll start with Neil.
I didn't know, so I just put Deep Blue Something's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's it.
Yep, got it.
Nailed it.
I think it's that song that's staring down the barrel of a 45, and it's not. He's shaking his head, but I just put a barrel of a 45.
All right. And Ken.
So this is Hey Man, Nice Shot. Hey Man, Nice Gun, Nice Shot, Man. I'm just going to go with Nice Shot.
So you had it originally. It is Hey Man, yeah. Nice Shot.
Yeah, I knew it was them talking to someone. I just didn't know what it was.
That's what I wrote on my
nice
sheet,
shot, man.
Too.
What's the other song I would know?
Take a picture.
Picture.
Nah.
All right, so on to a score recap following the first round. Matt and Ken both have 30 points.
Yeah, after a little stumble on that last question.
And Neil has 40.
Ooh, nice job.
So today we're going to challenge your recollection of Disney movies. I'm going to give you 10 songs featured in Disney films, and I'm just looking for the 10 Disney titles. I'm going to be giving you 5 points apiece for these.
Great.
You will be giving me 5 points apiece for these. I guarantee it.
Challenge accepted.
Calling my shots.
For each of those?
Yes.
All right. We'll see how well you do. I hope I can disprove that.
I'm not good at this. I'm not good at
well. I hope these are more classic than they are modern.
Yeah.
They range.
No spoilers. Let's
fair
go.
Enough.
So I did watch half of Moana last night before falling asleep. So
perfect.
As long as the song is from the first half.
No, don't worry. I don't think the work of Jermaine Clement is featured in this particular list. So, first song, One Jump Ahead. Second song, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Number 3 is Out There. 4, Just Around the River Bend. 5, I See the Light. 6, Kiss the Girl. 7, Little April Shower. 8, You'll Be in My Heart. 9, Why Should I Worry? 10, I Won't Say I'm in Love.
I take back all my confidence about this category.
We're going to go through them real quickly, so I'll just list them 1 through 10. Number one, One Jump Ahead. Number two, A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Number three, Out There. Number four, Just Around the River Bend. Number five, I See the Light. Six, Kiss the Girl. Number seven, Little April Shower. Number eight, You'll Be in My Heart. Number nine, Why Should I Worry? And 10, I Won't Say I'm in Love.
Animated Disney films, correct?
Yes, I went with canon animated Disney films. I'd get like five of these right. That's how I like the difficulty. Yeah. I like about 50% batting average.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the Box of Oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Yes, through the magic of editing, all the answers are in.
All right, so the answers are in. We're going to go question one. One Jump Ahead. What'd you say, Ken?
That is Aladdin.
And Matt?
Aladdin.
Neil?
Aladdin.
Clean sweep. That is Aladdin. Second song? A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Neil?
It's very familiar in my head, and I know it's older, so I just took a guess with Cinderella.
I thought that this was Jiminy Cricket singing the song, and I thought it was from the movie Pinocchio.
I thought about that too.
I think that's When You Wish Upon a Star, right?
Maybe.
That is Jiminy Cricket. I felt like this was a female voice singing this one. And maybe it was Cinderella singing to the mice as they were settling down to bed or something like that. So I also went Cinderella.
It is Cinderella.
That's a good guess.
I'm so glad I got that one. I was.
You were killing yourself over that one.
I was killing myself.
There was much deliberation about three. So that would be Out There. What'd you say, Ken?
So I think this actually starts somewhere out there, and I could not place it for the life of me, but I went with Snow White ultimately.
American Tale.
I was telling the guys, I just completely guessed. I was at a choir trip for Disney, and we sang some songs from Hunchback, and I just figured Jeff would be devious, and I just guessed that because it's a random one that not too many people see. So I said Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It is the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No way.
I definitely
have. Is that the right song?
Yes, it is.
How does it even go?
How do I know it?
How does it go?
You know it from Community. Abed sings it several times.
I don't know it from
Him and Troy train their mouse to it.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch Community, though. How does it go?
I think it goes somewhere out there.
Okay, folks. So after some off-mic research, we found that what we thought was the song is from American Tale. Unfortunately, that's not a Disney movie. And another song called Out There is from Hunchback of Notre Dame. So that's where we got screwed up. Somewhere Out There is from American Tale.
On to question four. I'm assuming this is a much more recognizable title. Yeah. Just Around the River Bend. What'd you say, Matt?
Pocahontas.
Same.
It was weird. I was going between Pocahontas and Snow White, and I crossed them both out, and I was just like, I'm just going to go with the obvious, so I went Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm. It's Pocahontas.
That's one of the more famous ones that's on this list, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Number five.
I See the Light. What'd you say, Ken?
Oh, I didn't know about this one, so I just went with Lion King, though I don't think it's in there.
I thought it was in reference to the star from that they fly to in Peter Pan, so I said Peter Pan.
So I was thinking of this end scene in Tangled where they release these lights up into the air, so I guessed Tangled, but now rereading it, I'm thinking it could be the Firefly from Princess and the Frog with Randy Newman.
It is Tangled. Number six, Kiss the Girl. Probably the most famous one on this list.
Yeah, that's Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
Little Mermaid.
Yep, the Petite Mermaid.
Points all around.
Mm-hmm.
The Petite Mermaid. I'm actually going to have to dock Matt an answer for that one. Thought he was being funny. Can't mess around on my show.
Yep. Titles are important.
Number seven, Little April Shower. Neil?
This one I just guessed Princess and the Frog.
I guessed Lilo and Stitch.
I was thinking this might be that weird song that the flowers sing to Alice in Alice in Wonderland.
Ken is a little bit closer on the time frame. Does anybody remember the song from Bambi?
No.
Oh, I don't remember any songs.
It was just tears immediately and then taken out at the theater because I watched it when I was a little child. It was very sad.
Number eight, You'll Be in My Heart. Who remembers this song?
I do.
Neil?
From the famed artist Phil Collins. That would be Tarzan.
Wow. I put Robin Hood.
Yeah, we're missing a lot of big Disney films here and going for some of the deep cuts. I went with Tangled on this one.
That was Tarzan. Phil Collins did the soundtrack to that one. Well done, Neil.
He also did a song with NSYNC for that album.
I had the soundtrack to Tarzan.
Oh.
I think I still might somewhere.
Good soundtrack, I heard.
It was all right.
Mm.
Number nine, Why Should I Worry? Ken, why should I worry?
Because I put Mulan.
Yeah. I was thinking Frozen has to be on here somewhere, and I put Frozen.
Ooh, Frozen's a good answer. I wasn't sure. I just put Sleeping Beauty. Maybe like she was thinking worrying about the prince or something, so I put Sleeping Beauty.
I refuse to write questions about Frozen. For any of you who are familiar with the XM station The Blend, they played Let It Go basically on repeat for 2 months, so I can't watch that anymore. Why Should I Worry is from Oliver and Company.
Oh, yeah. What's Oliver and Company?
It's about a dog, right?
It's about a cat.
The cat mixes it up with a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
It's true.
They were the company.
Didn't Sir William Joel do a lot of music for
he
that
did
one?
Do music for that one.
I do not remember that one.
Were they friends with the Aristocats? It's like this whole time period I'm missing, I think.
I tried to go... I mean, it goes from over, 50s yeah. to current. Yeah. It tries to run
There's
the whole
no Lion
gamut.
King on this list, but we did get Oliver and Company.
Seems fair.
There's no Lion King. There's no a lot of the famous ones. Like, I kind of steered away from that. Number 10, I Won't Say I'm in Love. Ken?
I went with Princess and the Frog on this one. Never seen it. Mm-hmm. Just a guess.
I put Beauty and the Beast.
I also put Beauty and the Beast, thinking she wouldn't want to say she was in love with the Beast, so...
That's actually from Hercules.
Oh.
Oh.
All right. Well, that didn't go that great for me.
Recap. Neil coming out the victor on that one. He's going to be picking up 35 points for his 7 correct. Ken will be tacking another 20 onto his score for his 4 correct. And Matt, another 15. So scores coming out of the mid-round. Neil has 75. Matt has 45. Ken with 50.
All right.
Okay.
Still anybody's game. Round 2, question 1. Always starting with a favorite of mine, geography. Which state has the highest population density? U.S. state. Everybody's in?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't I start with Matt?
Well, I was thinking smaller states with big urban populations, obviously. And all I could think of, Boston and Massachusetts. It's a smaller state, so I said Massachusetts.
All right. Neil?
For no other reason, just from being there in Providence, I just went with Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was along the same lines as these guys. I think Massachusetts is a little bit too big to qualify. I could be wrong. I went with Connecticut.
Well, you're all kind of in the right area. It is in the northeast.
Delaware.
But what you're not thinking about is a lot of the New York metro area extends into New Jersey.
Oh.
So it's actually New Jersey.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Hmm.
Question two. What are the four houses at Hogwarts?
No. Boo this question.
Neil?
Hold on.
Oh, Matt's still thinking.
I've never read a Harry Potter book, so this might take me a second.
I thought this was like a freebie.
No, I've never seen or read or know anything about Harry Potter.
I feel like Matt would choose himself to be in the green and black house, for those who know what that is.
Why don't you ask us to name the like wizards of Middle Earth or something like
that? Like we did a whole episode about that. Also, I choose other things to torture Neil with. Mostly how about
Harry Potter lay it on me? Any listeners want to come on for a Harry Potter? We can do that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lock in with three because I don't know anymore.
All right.
I have Gryffindor, Slytherin, and Hufflepuff, and I can't think of the other one.
The last one is...
is my house, Ken.
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Slytherin.
There you go. Ken and Neil getting points on that.
Yeah.
I feel Ken would be a Slytherin.
Yeah, he probably would be a Slytherin.
Yeah. Makes sense. My favorite character in the whole book is a Slytherin. I won't say anything more than that, but...
No spoilers?
No, in case Matt ever chooses to go through with reading it or watching
it's
it.
It's too late for Matt.
I choose not to. Yeah,
it's never too late.
Matt's the Slytherin. That's just become clear.
Matt is a Death Eater, though.
Matt is clearly the Hufflepuff, okay?
No, Jeff, you're the Hufflepuff.
I'm being insulted with words I don't understand.
I'm the Ravenclaw.
Are you serious?
Neil's the Gryffindor.
You are much more of the Slytherin. Gryffindor. Question three. Which band wrote and performed the song Sirius, which is used to introduce Chicago Bulls players before every game?
Mm. I have an answer.
Yeah, we talked... When did we talk about this? This was, like, recent.
I believe this was mentioned in one of the wrestling...
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was with Brendan Conway.
It's also mentioned in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
I think this is right. I could be wrong, but you're right. It is the wrestling episode with Brendan Conway. All right, I'm in.
Either The Spy Who Shagged Me or the first one. I can't remember. Do you remember which one?
It was the second one. Yeah. I was just going to say this shares a name with Dr. Evil's project. It's Alan Parsons Project.
I also had the Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah. I had Rolling Stones, so I'm wrong.
It is conservative rock band of the 1980s, the Alan Parsons Project. Question four. I'm a big fan of superlatives, especially geographic ones. What is the deepest river in the world, reaching a maximum depth of over 750 feet?
I'll put a river down that I know exists and is famous.
Oh, you said river. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the
deepest lake. You're thinking of the deepest lake.
That's what I told you, which is Crater Lake.
Crater Lake in Russia, yeah.
Yeah.
That has a depth
Russia
of like...
Russia, also the home of the deepest hole.
The Borla Super Deep Hole. Actually, I believe that's recently been passed.
Huh? Bigger Somebody hole? Drilled a bigger hole? Yeah.
Deeper hole. It's not bigger. It's only like 18 centimeters across.
Shia LaBeouf
or 18
dug
inches
it
across. It's not very big.
Shia LaBeouf did a deep hole as another performance art project.
It's holes too.
All right, Ken.
I went with the Yangtze.
I went with the Nile.
I went with the Missouri.
So I know the Missouri has something with it where I think it's one of the largest water basins. Mm-hmm. The Amazon, I think, moves the most water. The Nile is the longest, but the Congo is the deepest. Question five. Normally a listener-submitted question, although I guess technically I do listen to the show, so this one's submitted by me. Jack Bauer worked for what fictional branch of government?
This is a Neil question. I'm just looking right over at Neil's sheet here. Copy his answer down.
Yeah. I watched all of 24. It's great.
I really liked it.
24 is great. We did a 24 and 24 for season 5 with some people a few years back. That's a fun experiment. I recommend some exercise breaks and eating somewhat healthy. Otherwise, you're going to fall asleep.
Actually, I have an answer. 24 question 24 would be kind of fun for Lay It On Me.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time, but...
Well, don't worry. All you need to know is that the even seasons were original and the odd seasons all had threat of nuclear war. So...
Good to know.
I am in.
Also in.
All right, Ken?
I went with the Department of Justice and shooting people.
I believe it was the Counterterrorism Unit, CTU.
And Neil?
CTU.
CTU, or Counterterrorism Unit.
I could be more specific, but I know what it is.
I'm pretty sure you knew it. I think my favorite scene is when he's in that guy's house and he shoots his wife in the leg.
And
he's like, the guy's like really mortified, and he's like, "It's below the knee. She'll walk again." And like,
wait, did that happen in Taken?
They might have copied
that, like,
him.
Exact thing happened.
I'm pretty sure that happened in 24 too.
No, 24. You're correct. Yeah. Taken ripped off 24. Yeah.
and Liam Neeson just goes, "It's just a flesh wound."
Question six. Hamilton. I wanted to write a Hamilton question. Not the one you're thinking you're going to get, though. Hamilton is the capital of what British overseas territory? The Beach Boys would probably want to take you there. Thought about writing this question backwards with, like, Hamilton is the capital, or, you know, giving you that and then asking you what the capital is. He's also the first secretary of the treasury. But people know a lot about Hamilton these days. I don't know why.
Most of my, any knowledge I have in this question is based on the Beach Boys clue.
Yeah, I'm down 1 and 7 here.
Oh, you know all 7. You're impressive.
I think it's 7.
I've written all of them down and crossed them all out. All
right.
I don't mind that you hate this. That makes it fun.
God, it's 1 and 7.
Okay, I'm in.
The ones I wrote down, I think in the order, I think it goes Aruba, Jamaica, something that's out of Dana, to Bermuda, Bahamas, come on Pretty Mama, Key Largo, Montego, da-da-da-da-da, and then Kokomo.
Yeah.
I was not sure which one was British, so I just went with Bahamas.
Uh-huh. I originally wrote Bahamas, but I thought that that was a U.S.
I think it is
territory.
Too, but I didn't know.
So Bahamas is NASA, and it is U.S. Mm-hmm. I went with Bermuda, which I'm not sure about. Could be.
And I also went with Montego, which is where we go.
So I think the Bahamas are an independent nation.
Okay.
Regardless, you are correct. Well, NASA maybe. Is the capital.
Well, did we need a passport when we went there?
No, but that was because we were on a cruise ship.
Oh, okay.
Bermuda is a British overseas territory, and its capital is Hamilton.
I had Bermuda, and I crossed it out because Montego sounded more British, I guess. I don't know.
You may have been stuck up on the Wego.
So. Yeah, that's what it was. It was John Stamos in my head,
yep.
Singing along with the boys.
What more can you ask for? Question 7. Beginning an American tradition in 1801, Aaron Burr's daughter, Theodosia, and her new husband honeymooned in this location. Maybe the destination wedding will stop everyone from the office from attending.
Don't know the office reference?
I do.
How do you know it's an office reference?
Because there has to be one in every episode.
It's always an office reference.
I like how you went from Hamilton to Aaron Burr.
I did have that, yeah.
I had 2 guesses. I don't watch The Office, really. It was either Hawaii or Jamaica, so I just put Hawaii.
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
It is Niagara Falls. Mm.
I knew Hawaii, but that was too early for Hawaii. But
yeah, I was trying to think. I was thinking, like, just think 1801. That would have been before they were even, like, a kingdom that we recognized.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, probably not going there, but yep, Niagara Falls.
Closing the gap on Neil ever so slightly.
Little by little.
Question 8. The song American Woman by the Guess Who makes reference to and is directed towards this woman, who actually originates from France. She made her American debut in 1876.
Neil's going to overthink this one, mm-hmm. 100%.
Me and Matt have formed a coalition against
coalition government over there. All right, and Ken, what did you say for this one?
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The gift from the France, I said Statue of Liberty.
Neil?
I just put Marie Antoinette. That's a good answer.
Oh, that's actually... Marie Antoinette's not a bad answer.
No, I don't know if she ever made it to the United States, but it was the Statue of Liberty.
That was a lot simpler than I was making it out to be in my head.
She was Austrian, I believe, and she married a Frenchman.
Yes.
And became...
The wide proponent of cake.
Yeah.
Number 9. Sticking with a theme I touched on in my last episode, I'm going to go the opposite of this time, though. So I asked last time, if you remember, what country's capital is the furthest north, which country's capital is the furthest south? And good news to you, there's not a lot of countries in the southern hemisphere, so this gets easier.
I'm in with an incorrect answer.
This is definitely one of those things where it looks one way on the map, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Argentina, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Ken says Argentina. What'd you say, Matt?
I thought it was one of those where South America looks like it's farther south, but it's actually Africa, and I thought South Africa.
Okay. Neil?
I just put Chile.
So none of you were in the right area. It's New Zealand.
Yeah, see, and then that was the other thing.
So Wellington is the capital, which is further south.
It was a trick.
It wasn't.
No, it's just...
No. Now that I think about it, I remember that happening and whatever I heard.
One of those look at a map questions. One of these days we'll look at a map. Today is not that day.
Question 10. This famous jazz artist with album titles, including Bitches Brew, was born in Alton, Illinois.
I only know one.
I'm in.
I just want to say really quick, I know everything there is to know about Miles. It is Miles Davis.
I put Miles Davis.
I thought it was long overdue that we haven't had a Miles Davis question, so it is Miles Davis.
I like how there's no movie questions the entire game. 124 question. That's Jeff feeling bad that I beat him last time.
Sour grapes.
Ken's game.
No.
No movie questions, but I'm glad there's a 24, so that made me feel good.
You know what? I didn't even think about it on balance. I just was pulling from things that I had written, and movies are not my strong suits.
So. My last game was pretty
movie heavy.
So.
Yeah.
That's why there are four of us. Try and balance it all
out. Exactly, yeah.
Going into the final round here, we're going to recap the scores. Making up third place is Matt, 85 points. In second place, with 110, would be Ken. And with a slight edge, 115 goes to Neil.
Anybody's game.
All right. So we are heading into the final round. Just again, brief recap. They can wager 0 to 30 on these five questions. Let me give you the categories. First category, oh boy. The word I'm looking for begins with O.
Oh boy.
Second category is in television. Third category is in classic literature. Fourth question is in celebrities / pop culture. And question five is in sports.
Yay.
All right, the wagers are in. So on to question one. Category again was oh boy. Name the only country in the world to begin with the letter O.
Should have known.
I love it.
All right. Well, I got one letter.
All right.
Question two is in television. The Simpsons originally debuted on what variety show?
Should have bet more.
All right. Third question in literature. Gregor Samsa is the main character in what 1915 novel? Question four is in pop culture. What is Michael J. Fox's middle name? And so that no one knows I'm playing any tricks, this is his given birth name. So, question five in sports. Who was the first pinch hitter to hit a home run in the World Series?
I'm really struggling with the Simpsons one, too, because I've heard it.
Should have gone bigger on that one. That's a fact I actually know.
That pinch hitter question, I'm sure you guys have no idea, but like, there's so many World Series in that.
Yeah.
If it's not somebody famous, then I have no idea. So I just put down something.
Oh no, it's somebody famous. Yeah. So.
And I'm all in.
Okay.
All right, we are all in. So question one in oh boy wagers. Were 0 for Neil. Matt and Ken both wagering 10. So why don't we start
Mistake.
With why don't we start with Ken?
I couldn't even come up with a joke answer for this, so I couldn't write anything.
Yeah. I was thinking if maybe there's a country named Oceania, because I know that's a region, but that's where I got stuck, so I put Oceania.
It's not a bad guess.
Yeah.
I had no idea, and luckily I put 0, so I just put orthopedic.
Perfect.
So it's in the Middle East. Don't know if any of you have heard of the country of Oman.
Oman. Oh, God. As soon as you said that, then it comes to me.
Is that a joke about, oh boy, Oman?
No, I...
Yes, Oman, right? Like the Jamaicans say.
Beer can.
I hadn't intended it that way, but yeah, it was more of a hint than I had thought.
Whoops, minus 10 for me.
Question two was in the category of television, and everybody betting on this. Ken and Neil both going 10. Matt bet 20. So let's go to Matt with the high bet.
That would be on the Tracy Ullman show.
It is the Tracy Ullman show.
What'd you say, Ken?
I had to tap out and put Carol Burnett.
Ah, no, a little too late for Carol Burnett, but it was the Tracy Ullman
show.
Yes,
I know it's too late.
HBO.
She actually did a voice on the first season. She played the babysitter who was actually a robber or whatever.
She's great.
She was not asked back. And
her show was really good.
She sued The Simpsons repeatedly for more money over, because she feels like she got screwed out of millions and millions of dollars, which she probably did.
She may have.
Yeah.
Question three, category was in classic literature. And no bet here for Matt, tapping out on the wager. Ken had a high bet of 20. Neil split the difference with 10. So let's go to Ken.
Yeah, hopefully I can make up my lost 20 points on this one. I went with Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka.
Oh, that's right. I was between, for some reason, it sounded Russian, so I put Anna Karenina or War and Peace, and I just chose War and Peace. Yeah.
And I put Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
it is the Metamorphosis.
I've read that too.
Are you feeling Kafka-esque now?
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody else can overuse it, why can't I?
Yeah.
Question four is in pop culture / celebrities. So everybody had some wagers on this. 30 for Neil, Matt and Ken both going 20. So Neil, what were your thoughts on this? I know you had struggled and gone back and forth.
I couldn't remember if the fact that I read that if it was James or if he was one of the few celebrities whose middle name was just an initial and they never actually had a middle name. So I actually just put J.
As in the letter J, right?
As in the letter J.
Middle name is J.
I mean, Homer Simpson famously had the middle name of J.
Yeah. You'll always know that it's actually Homer J. Simpson. Yeah. I thought that it was one of those where he changed his name when he became an actor and his middle name was actually Michael. So I put Michael.
Yeah, I know there's a trick to this because I looked it up before. I also went with Michael.
So you guys are on to something. It should be Michael A. Fox. Because he was Michael Andrew Fox.
Oh, never would have gotten that.
This was also something where I wanted to know what the J stood for and was shocked to find that it didn't stand for anything starting with J.
I had 20 points.
I mean, you're all the biggest loser on this one, so no big.
So the J doesn't stand for anything?
No, it doesn't. Hmm. But his actual name, his given name, which is why I specified that, is Michael Andrew Fox.
Yeah, Michael A. Fox doesn't sound as good.
No.
Good call, Michael. If you're listening.
We hope you are.
Which you're not.
We're very pro-Canadians. So on to question five, we had sports. So we can probably guess that Matt had the high wager here with 30. Neil going 10, Ken tapping out, no wager. So what did you say, Matt? Who was the first pinch hitter to hit a home run in the World Series?
I figure if you're going to ask the question, it has to be someone famous. It has to be someone from an earlier World Series. Yankees were in a whole bunch of World Series. I went with Babe Ruth.
What did you say, Neil?
Yeah, I had the same reasoning that if you were going to do a sports question, you probably wouldn't do anything hard. And I figured Babe Ruth might have pinched in at one point and hit a home run, so I put Babe Ruth.
All right, Ken? You okay over there?
That's a great answer. You have to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, I was just drawing back on my knowledge from our special baseball bonus episode, and I went with Rusty Kuntz.
Well, you were onto something insofar as it was a Yankee gentleman, but the future ain't what it used to be.
Was Rusty Kuntz a Yankee?
He was not a Yankee, no. He's a Twin.
That was Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra.
There were two Rusty Kuntz.
Really? So it had to have been the 40s then?
Yeah, wow. Late 40s, early 50s. I can't remember exactly the year, but yeah, first one to do it in a World Series.
I don't bet a lot in these final rounds, and I figured the celebrity pop culture one would be a little more like celebrity pop culture, but so I bet big, so I'm pretty sure I lost, but it was fine.
I lost a lot on that last question. So
I went a little obscure.
The most famous pinch hit home run I could think of is Kirk Gibson did in the 79 World Series for the Dodgers, and it was kind of one of the more famous ones.
All right, everybody was thoroughly thrashed in that last one. Everybody losing points net overall. So Neil and Matt both lost 40. Perfect. Ken lost only 20.
All right.
So your final scores, Matt with 45, Neil 75, and this week's cream of the crop with 90. Ken.
I am the cream, yeah. The cream of the crop.
Congratulations, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was fun. Feels good to be the cream once again. After a long sabbatical.
Yeah, even if I bet zero across the board, I would have lost by 5 points. So, I figure just go big and figure it out later.
Yeah, my bets were pretty middling, but turned out okay for me.
Well, that's our way, right? You just bet big and hope for the best.
So before we close it out here, I think Neil had something he wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, so we really appreciate all of your emails, that you're listening, that you're enjoying the show or interacting with the show. as a team, we like to go out and play trivia at different places to kind of cross promote, let people know what we're doing, hand out cards, things like that, because our favorite listeners are obviously people who like playing trivia at a pub or wherever they might be. So we were at a location playing trivia, and we happened to win that night, which, you know, isn't always the case, but we played a really good game. And immediately as we walked out of the door, within maybe a minute of getting out the door, we got a ping on our email. And this email came in.
We were really excited.
We were really excited. We said, hey, you know what? Our turnover rate of, you know, attracting new fans is really quick now. And, you know, we must have handed out the cards to the right people. So the email we got that we were excited about, it had the subject line, I just wanted to say that, dot, dot, dot. And in all caps, stop passing out your cards. Nobody cares, losers. Boo. 13 middle finger emojis.
Yeah, so thanks for that, guy.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate your email and your feedback. And
all feedback is appreciated.
Yeah, we'll take it into consideration, and we'll flick ourselves off and see how...
We're still going to pass out our cards, though.
We still are. And
Sowie.
Ken has said it before, we don't claim to be the best trivia team. We just like playing, and we do this for you. So just keep listening and keep flicking us off as long as you're listening.
And talk more smack on Facebook, because we love it. All right, Jeff, you want to take us out?
Thank you, Ken. So if you want to reach out with us, best way now to do that is just go directly to our website. It's got links to all of our Facebook, Twitter, and you can send us your questions directly there. Again, that is trivialitypodcast.com. So we're very excited about that. Matt's been working on the website. We've got some other stuff that we want to do with that. So love to hear from you. For Ken, Matt, Neil, and myself, that was Triviality.
Are you okay?
I'm fine for a second.
Oh my God, you got him, dude!
Don't worry, I've been in this situation before. I think I got these scars.
From wolves?
F***ing wolves. Now let's get out of here.